The Come This Far podcast is brought to you by adsuits.com. AD Suits designs the most affordable, inexpensive, high-quality men's suits, tuxedos, shirts, ties, and accessories that you can buy online. AD Suits believes in a down-to-earth approach to men's fashion and that the most stylish suits should be accessible to everyone. Looking sharp shouldn't cost a fortune. How do they do it? They have amazing suits starting at $39. I know it sounds like a gimmick. Trust me, I thought it was too. When I started running for office, when I became an elected official, I had like one suit. I would wear it to church, I would wear it to funerals, but I realized that running for office and being an elected official, I had to have more than one suit, but I didn't want to pay $500 for a suit or even $100 for a suit. So I went to adsuits.com. I found it on Google, and guess what? They're my favorite suits. I wear them all the time. I have like five of them because they cost $49 each. Some of them cost $39 each. How do they do it? Well, by manufacturing their own suits, they cut out any middleman. And also by operating only online, no brick and mortar stores, they eliminate expenses. So in the end, they can bring you a nice suit for under $50. And they're not cheap. They're not cheap. They feel the same as my $500 suit that was gifted to me by my father. Okay? They are amazing. And you don't feel like you have to be restricted, because if you get it messed up, if you tear it, if you get it stained, it's only $40. Who cares? Throw it away and buy a new one. That's the way suits should be. And they should be comfortable, and they should be well fitted, and they should look nice, but they should not be a fortune to wear. So do yourself a favor, go to adsuits.com today. You won't be sorry. You know, some people think that I tell my story to get praise or to, you know, be on the news or be on shows like this. And you don't realize how difficult it is to become so vulnerable and to open your family up to that scrutiny. But I know how important it is, because when a news segment airs, I get hundreds and sometimes thousands of comments and messages and people who are suffering in silence, and they tell me how much inspiration they get. And so I don't want my struggles and everything that I've suffered to be in vain. Like, I really believe that God gives people struggles and trials to overcome them and then to be that hope and help to other people.
And a Safford City Council member is suspending his campaign for Congress.
A Safford City Councilman has suspended his campaign for Congress after suffering a heroin overdose.
His name is Chris Taylor. You may actually know the name very well. It's been very publicized here in the Arizona media and the Arizona press.
Chris Taylor was running for the Republican nomination to challenge Democrat Tom O'Halloran this November.
And tonight, Chris Taylor says he is seeking treatment for substance abuse.
We first met Chris Taylor in 2017 as we dug in on the opioid problem plaguing the eastern Arizona city of Safford.
In a previous campaign ad, Taylor opened up about his struggles with opioid addiction after two tours in Afghanistan.
Taylor, a veteran who fought off addiction to open his own treatment center, was poised to be the success story for Safford. But he went backwards as old demons resurfaced last week. A relapse that resulted in an overdose. In a statement to suspend his congressional campaign, Taylor was very direct, saying, quote, "I'm not going to hide from this. I'm not ashamed of what happened. I wish to sincerely apologize to the amazing people who have supported me. It's a haunting reminder of a dark past that will always be looking over the shoulder of a bright future."
South Carolina mom who became a QAnon follower actually feared that she and her daughter would have to go into hiding
after President Biden took office because of all the disinformation she fell for. Then her QAnon fever broke and she came to her senses. CNN's Joni O'Sullivan joins us with her story. This is fascinating, Joni. So tell us what happened, her whole trajectory.
Hey, Allison. Yeah, many followers of QAnon still believe this conspiracy theory, but we spoke to one woman who voted for Trump in November, but recently just realized QAnon is a lie. Have a listen.
When President Biden was sworn in,
Hi, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
I was just crying. I mean, I couldn't stop, like, that ugly cry that you do. It just kept going, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm seeing the funeral of our country. And instantly, I went into panic mode. I had to call my mom, and I just told her, I was like, we're all gonna die. We're gonna be owned by China. And I was like, I might have to pull my daughter out of school because they're gonna take her. I was scared to death.
Ashley Vanderbilt, a South Carolina mom who says she lost her job early in the pandemic, fell deep down the QAnon conspiracy theory rabbit hole before November's election.
How did you get into this world and go down this rabbit hole?
Well, I started seeing TikToks and I didn't know that it was conspiracy things. I just thought it was, they were telling me something that nobody else knew. So then I would reach out to different friends of mine that were bigger Trump supporters. I would say, you know, I saw this on TikTok, what do you think? And they'd start sending me YouTube videos. They would start sending me different Facebook Live videos. And one thing led to another. I just went down this rabbit hole learning all this stuff. But I mean, what have we heard the last 4 or 5 years? Don't watch the news, fake news, fake news. I don't watch the news, I don't read newspapers, like I don't do anything. I've always been someone that you just tell me what to do and I do it. I grew up being told we were Republicans, so I've always been that straight red ticket.
How do you think that videos like this started showing up in your feed?
Well, originally I was just following like entertainment stuff, but sometime when maybe people started like campaigning, I started liking a lot of Trump posts and things that were anti-Biden, and the algorithm must have just brought that kind of stuff to me.
Right before the inauguration, you didn't believe Biden was really going to get sworn in.
No, I expected a blackout. I expected the TV to go black and nothing to work, and so we wouldn't see anything. The assumption of what would happen would be that most of the Democratic leaders there, quite a few of the Republican leaders, all the Hollywood elite that had attended, they'd all be arrested. The military's gonna haul them off. They said that Trump opened back up Guantanamo Bay, and then the military would run the country, put us in martial law because the left come too unhinged and they'd be a danger to us. And then Trump would come back when the government was rebuilt. I know it sounds crazy.
But you believed it.
I did.
And then Biden got sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel?
I was devastated.
The belief among QAnon supporters that Biden would not be inaugurated was wrong. Ashley Vanderbilt realized she had bought into a conspiracy theory.
Well, I was wrong.
How do you feel now knowing that you believed all this stuff?
It's weird. I think I spent a lot of time this year isolated from everybody. You know, I've just been home a lot. I've lost my job last April in 2020 and I was super depressed. And I think in a way I probably lost touch with a little bit of reality and that almost that common sense. And so I'm not so much embarrassed for what I believed, but I mean, I feel foolish. I'm stressed out all the time. So my home life, like with my 4-year-old, I feel like I definitely had a lot less patience with her. There would just be times where I would just snap. I would just get so upset with her. So I've had to apologize to her a lot for being like, I'm sorry for just even getting hateful towards you. Like it is not you, it is me. I got my own stuff going on.
I mean, you must be happy that for your daughter's sake that you've been able to get out of this.
Yeah, she needs her mom. And I wasn't 100% there like I should have been.
A spokesperson for TikTok said the company is committed to countering misinformation and content promoting QAnon is not allowed on its platform. After finding QAnon through TikTok, Ashley said the only thing that might have pulled her out of it before the inauguration was if Trump spoke out against it.
I was the biggest Trump supporter there was. If he were to have said something and if he were to just say Q's illegitimate, nothing's real in there, I think some people would leave. Maybe not all the people that are way too far into it, but I think it would help a lot of...
It would have helped you?
Mm-hmm. I thought the world of him. So if he would have said, that's not real, I'm not coming back, it is over, I would have believed him.
Oh my gosh, Joni. Oh my gosh. It is so valuable to have somebody as honest now and sort of now self-aware as she is to explain how it happens. I think that that was very insightful hearing that isolation and depression lead to it. And so do TikTok, and YouTube and Facebook. And if that's where you get your information or your news, we're in trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, what was incredible was here you have a 27-year-old mom in South Carolina, and she's able to come out and say, I was wrong. And she's able to come out and denounce QAnon for what it is, a crazy conspiracy theory. Yet there's people in the Republican Party, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who are members of Congress, but are not coming out to do just what this mother is doing.
I gotta say, the end there, where she said the one thing that could have changed her mind is if the former president had come out and said, this is all made up, or said QAnon is wrong, which is the opposite of what he said, Donny. I mean, he has come out and said these are good people who just love America. This really puts it on him in a way.
Yeah, and I mean, Trump is the hero in the QAnon story, right? He is the hero. He's a godlike figure. I mean, Ashley there even said, you know, she is a religious person. She is a Christian. She was wondering at points if she was putting Trump above God. And what do we see Trump do? We saw him praise QAnon's followers, and we saw him engage and retweet with many of the accounts that are pushing this conspiracy theory.
Another insight that she had where she said, you know, basically in my life, you just tell me what to do and I do it. And I think that that was also really honest, which is some people are followers. There are some people who are leaders. There are some people who are followers. That's just true. There's nothing, no judgment there. But it's followers who are looking to a leader, and Donald Trump wasn't giving them real information.
Yeah, and she was extremely candid, you know, about her ignorance, frankly. You know, she said, I don't watch the news. I don't read newspapers. We've been told for 4 or 5 years about the fake news, fake news, fake news. And now she said that she is, you know, as she reevaluates her politics, as she reevaluates her beliefs, she is going to start engaging with journalism. And actually, after this interview, she posted on her TikTok account, she's still using TikTok to now spread the message about helping people get out of conspiracy theories. She posted on TikTok saying, I just finished an interview with CNN. You know, when I believed this conspiracy theory, when I was in QAnon, you know, this was the evil news organization that I was most afraid of.
An Arizona woman says last year she became brainwashed by QAnon's conspiracy theories, which led to this scene she made in Target at a display of face masks.
I've been looking forward to this all my life. So, Target, I'm not playing this. This is all over. This.
That video went viral, and her long fall down the QAnon rabbit hole nearly cost her her marriage and her career. Joining us now is that woman, Melissa Rhine Lively. Melissa, what a story. Oh, my gosh. Good to see you. Thanks for being here. Melissa, what was happening in that video that we were seeing where you were destroying that rack of face masks? What were you trying to accomplish?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. You know, I had really lost all touch with reality. It was the worst day of my life. I was having a complete mental break. And really what had happened was I had fallen down the QAnon rabbit hole and fell hard, you know, and just lost it. I was completely triggered.
And after that moment, you then went home. You were still irrational, so much so that your husband called the police. We have some video of that too. You were just spouting crazy theories when the police showed up. You were clearly in distress, and they ended up having to take you in. I mean, for a mental evaluation, and I believe to a mental hospital. And so how did this happen, Melissa, that you fell so far down the conspiracy rabbit hole?
You know, I really became all consumed in the QAnon conspiracy theories because of a mix of fear, anxiety, depression, you know, uncertainty, inconsistency with the information coming out about the pandemic. I felt terrified. I was losing my business. I was watching people around me lose their business. I felt hopeless. I didn't know what to do. So I went to the internet. You know, it started innocently enough, you know, kind of poking around on spirituality and wellness and new age pages that, you know, are just things that I'm interested in anyway. And then, you know, as soon as the algorithm hooked me in, it really only took a matter of weeks until I was in this terrifying echo chamber that really, you know, completely changed the way that I think and the way that I processed information. And what people saw happen in my garage that day, I mean, truly with my husband, who's my absolute best friend, is an ultimate act of love and selfless service for another person, because he had to make a very difficult choice that day, you know, to save my life. You know, he had given me an ultimatum, you know, it's this family, you know, or QAnon. And you know, because I had become so obsessed with it, the Save the Children messaging spoke so deeply to who I am as a person, and I just couldn't put it aside. It ruined me, and it really had a significant impact on my mental health.
And as you say, I mean, your husband tried everything to pull you out, calling the police, as we see there in that video of you in your garage. That was one of his That was just one of the things that he tried. I mean, he really tried to pull you out. And as you say, the algorithm hooked you in. And so you got into this kind of pattern of doom scrolling and fear scrolling. And it just feeds on itself. And so what happened, Melissa? How did you break the spell?
Well, you know, I had to make, you know, a very serious decision for my health and my family. And that, you know, was voluntarily, you know, seeking mental health treatment. I went and I did a PTSD and trauma program, which was really ultimately what I was dealing with. And I was exacerbating the situation and some previous trauma and emotional stuff that, you know, I had failed to deal with in my life. And I had to make the conscious choice to go and get help for that, you know, and I invested myself into that program. You know, I continue to go to therapy and slowly but surely, you know, work to rebuild my life back. And I wrote a book about it. And you know, I was really committed to helping other people escape from this, because I really believe that it's a cult. It operates like a cult in every single way. And people don't realize that they're being consumed by QAnon until it's too late.
And before we get to your advice for other people, if you hadn't gotten out, would you have been one of the people that we saw at the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol? Did you know that was happening? Were you planning to go there?
You know, I wasn't aware of it back in July, you know, when everything happened with me, and I've been on the road to recovery since last July. But I will say, you know, it is incredibly scary how quickly people become radicalized and violent, you know, as they kind of continue down the rabbit hole and lose trust with, you know, other people and our institutions and the government and so on and so forth. And they feel compelled to take matters into their own hands. I sort of see my target situation as my Capitol moment. I don't think I would have been at the Capitol, thank God, you know, because my family did intervene, you know, but, you know, the damage had already been done, you know, with the whole target situation. But it's frightening. And I think that's the reason that my husband, you know, felt so compelled to involve the police that day, is because I am such a peace-loving, you know, sensitive person. And, you know, I even got radicalized quickly to the point that I was destructive. I was violent, I was angry, I was defensive. So it is very, very frightening when you see a large amount of people attack, you know, our government institution like our Capitol. It was very upsetting for me to see, because I know exactly how it happened.
Oh my gosh. And so, Melissa, what is your advice to other people who may have a family member or friends who have fallen into QAnon?
You know, I speak to people every day, family members who say, what advice can you give my friend? Can you talk to my loved one, my sister, my mother? And it's heartbreaking. It gives me chills just thinking about it, because I know that these people have to be empowered to make the conscious choice to leave the cult themselves. The more that people, you know, berate them, call them names, call them stupid, you know, laugh at them, mock them, they are just going to dig their heels in harder and become more isolated, more scared, and more alone. So my advice is to love these people, understand these people, try to come to even ground and reason with them as best you can. Find things, common ground, things that you can agree on, and start there, and really try to isolate what their fears are and what's motivating the irrational behavior and obsession with QAnon, because what you'll probably find out, it is motivated by fear, distrust, you know, uncertainty, not necessarily hatred, not necessarily destruction, but these people can be helped, but they have to be empowered to do so.
Wow, that is such good advice. I mean, compassion and focus on their fears. Melissa Ryan Lively, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. Really incredible to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we are live. Welcome to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. That's me. I'm your host, Chris Taylor. And today we are going to go down the rabbit hole. Yes, we're going to go down a rabbit hole of QAnon. We're going to talk about it. We're going to expose it. We're going to talk a little bit about how in the world are so many people, many of them very intelligent, very religious, very good-hearted people, how do they become so brainwashed? That's really the only word for it. And it's very interesting. Now that, you know, the Q prophecies have come true, you know, that Joe Biden was never going to be allowed to take the oath of office. He was never going to be allowed to be the president. The military would come in and shut things down and arrest him and all the other satanic, pedophile cannibals, in the government, and Donald Trump would be somewhere safe waiting for him to be reinstalled as president. And since that didn't happen, and now we're in midway through February, there's an increasing amount of people who are going public telling their story about how over the last year or two, they went down the rabbit hole and they had a complete break with reality, and to the dismay of their family, and everyone around them. And thankfully they were able to see the light and they've talked about it. And you know, it's so scary because I know people, close people that I know intimately, that whether they know it or not, and that's another thing I'll talk about, are subscribers to QAnon. And so when you hear, you know, Republican leaders say, oh, I don't even know, I've never even heard of it. I don't know what this QAnon, they like mispronounce it on purpose, and I've never heard of this. And it's like, I started thinking, I believe that at least half of that is not disingenuous. I think that the you know, people are engaging in this conspiracy without knowing that it's QAnon and not knowing what they are involved in. And that's why it's really just a loosely based ideology of conspiracies, and we like to do this. We do it with a lot of things, but we kind of lump everything together and say, okay, if you're this crazy far right conspiracy theorist, then you are part of QAnon. And I don't really agree with that, but there's a part of that that is very true. And so there's a lot of people who, if you told them about QAnon, they'd be like, well, I don't, you know, I'm not a member of QAnon, you're nuts. But when then you'd start to hear them talk about some of their enlightened views on some of the deep state, all of this stuff, and I'm going to get into it. They are verbatim talking about QAnon, and no, they don't pledge allegiance to a mythical figure named Q. That's a small group of people that actually do that. But the larger tent or umbrella of these QAnon type conspiracies have wrapped many people into them, especially the last year. I don't come at this as just a regular, you know, untrained eye. Okay. I've talked about this many times before, and I'll continue to talk about it because it was a big part of my life, and the skills that I learned have benefited me greatly into the civilian world and into my adult life. You know, I'm talking about my military experiences, my training as a psychological warfare specialist, trained in the art, an expert, if you will, in the art of deception and persuasion and influence. And so when I see these people that I've known my entire life, that are good and decent and honorable people, intelligent, start to go down this rabbit hole of conspiracies that are completely discredited, completely unfounded, completely baseless, but they are all in, and it is ruining their lives. Some of them, it is hurting their families, their young families. And I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to talk about anything in that context. But my hope is, at least part of the reason why I'm doing this, is that somebody might see this and say, huh, maybe that's me. Maybe the shoe fits. Maybe I should take another look at things. Maybe I should take a step back and get some perspective on this situation. And maybe I should seek some help. Because at the end of the day, I know we like to make fun, and I do, and it's hurtful, and it's not good, and I'm wrong for doing it. But it's, you know, some of these things, some of these people are so hateful and so I don't even know the word, but they're just so difficult to deal with because they are completely brainwashed. And in reality, it's not their fault. They don't know that it's happening. And so, yeah, they can be ugly and hateful, but they're under the influence of an evil force. And it is a mental health situation that needs to be addressed and take place. And so really what I'm trying to kind of frame up in this episode here is that I don't know the percentage. I like to say percentages, but it's just a guess. I would say 75% or more of people that are involved in QAnon have no idea that they are involved in QAnon. They don't know Q. They've never seen a post from this mythical Q. They don't subscribe to this exact tenets of what this cult has created. But the tentacles of that, all of the wild conspiracy theories, they subscribe to them. And the reason they do is because they come in a form that is easily being manipulated. It plays on your kindness, right? The whole thing about child sex trafficking and abortions and, you know, all of these things, they play on these very good people's emotions with that. Because how could you not want to be involved in a group that is a crusade against child trafficking, sex trafficking, and a pedophilia ring, right? I mean, anybody with a heart, anybody that's a decent human would want to be engaged in a fight against sex traffickers and pedophiles and satanic, you know, a satanic cabal of powerful people that are quote unquote running our country. Of course, anybody would want to be in that fight against those things. So they play on those and they take them little by little, and then it's all in, and then they get wrapped in this echo chamber. It's really an echo chamber. And the social media algorithms, because you know what I'm talking about. Look, I'll go to Google and I'll Google something like, just for instance, and this is more of an advertising thing, but I'll, you know, before Christmas, I was searching for a nice basketball hoop to buy. And I knew the one that I wanted, and I was just looking at different ones to compare and contrast the price and the reviews and everything. And I typed in one time, I typed in a name of a rival company of the one that I was going to look for. And for the next 2-3 weeks, that's all my ads on Facebook was from that company. And that's all I could see. There was no other ads. Just everywhere I turned, it was the ad to buy that basketball hoop. Okay. Because the algorithm knew that I was trying to purchase this and they bombarded me. Okay. And so when you are searching for these things, like, you know, child sex slavery or anti-abortion, you know, anti-whatever, you're going to be seeing these videos, and then it doesn't take long, and that's all you're going to see. And you're going to be pulled in, and then you're going to be involved in private groups that are, you know, regional groups that say, oh, Southeastern Arizona moms against sex trafficking. And you're going to be, oh yeah, I want to be involved in that. And then that's all you interact with. And because of the pandemic, we've been isolated and away from the outside world to a large extent. And so, and then with all the uncertainty with that, all of the division that happened around the election, all of the political spin and the rhetoric and everything else, it was just exacerbated. And then when you've created this echo chamber, and social media companies are to blame, because there's an ever increasing need, and the origins of which is greed, because more clicks bring more ad revenue, and they want to give you what you want, right? So I wanted a basketball hoop. Social media wanted to give me that basketball hoop. They wanted to give it to me. They did everything they could to get me into that basketball hoop, right? Into buying that basketball hoop. And it's the same way with these conspiracies and QAnon, okay? And it's the reason for the rise in domestic terrorism threats. I really truly believe that there is a multi-pronged reason for all of that, but the number one is the hatred and recent undermining of true democratic values and institutions, foolish pride and a delusional false sense of patriotism, completely warped interpretation of the Constitution, fueled by an advanced disinformation operation from the extreme right, bolstered by an advertising revenue model engineered through social media algorithms that are developed out of money-hungry greed, utter lack of compassion and empathy for historically marginalized minority groups, not just racial inequality, but those who suffer from addiction, LGBTQ, and many, many more. These are the reasons for this break with reality for many people. And these sinister individuals who are perpetrating these wild conspiracies, they play on your emotions. They know exactly what makes you tick. They know you inside and out. And I would venture to believe that they have bought your data and information of what you look for and what you search for, and they feed it to you. And then you start to alienate yourself from outside opinions. You alienate yourself from even your family members who might think completely different than you and who could provide you some very good perspective on what's happening, but you isolate from them. You push them away. You fight with them. And at the very base of all of this is our frailty as people, our mental health, the whole stigma that's involved in seeking mental health care, seeking self-care, seeking to just take care of ourselves mentally and spiritually and emotionally and mentally. We are depressed. We are, you know, so many jobs have been lost. So many people have died. So many stressful things like schools are shut down. You know, you're getting one set of information from one side and completely different information from the other. And so it fuels a distrust. And so then you retreat to look for things within this new sphere that you have created for yourself. And because you feel so horrible, because everything seems to be crumbling in your personal life, your marriage is falling apart, your relationships are strained, your children are acting out, your children who are growing into being preteens and teens are dealing with all of this and so much more, and they're going down the wrong roads, and so all of this stuff, and the pandemic has only exacerbated it. Some people self-medicate with drugs and alcohol, others with gambling, others with shopping, others with sex, others with whatever. And then there's those people who feel empowered by the secret conspiracies, this feeling that you have been enlightened. Only you and a few select people out of the 300 million people in this country know the truth, right? Only us, we know what's really going on. And it's empowering. And it makes you feel better about yourself. And you that's where the hatefulness comes in, because it's like, look at these people. How could you support a baby killing pedophile like Joe Biden? And it's like, what are you talking about? Joe Biden is not a pedophile. Joe Biden is not a sex trafficker, right? He's not a socialist. But this is what the echo chamber is telling you. And I see it. All you have to do is look at my comment sections on anything I post, and you will see these people. And they are blinded. But you ask them, and it's me. I am the one that is under the power of the evil one, right? I'm the one because, I'm a drug addict. So it's easy for me to sometimes take offense, to make you feel stupid. And you, I'm talking to you, if you are a subscriber to these beliefs, it's probably not a very large portion of you listening to this, if any, but you know what I'm saying. I am quick-witted, and I'm very good at comebacks and stuff like that, and I have engaged in some of that, and I am I regret that, and I'm sorry for that, because I do know that this is a serious issue. And it's a mental health issue. And by ridiculing these people and criticizing them and making fun of them and calling them evil and all of this stuff, that's wrong. And not only is it wrong, it's the wrong road to go down if you want to help these people and bring them back into reality. Right, the worst thing you can do, and this is coming from an influence persuasion trained expert in that, is to attack people. That's the number one thing you don't do when you want to influence or change somebody's mind about something. Right, you get defensive and you attack, or you engage in contention. All it does is make them dig their heels in more. All it does is make them believe their lunacy more and more. And so, major deprogramming is going to have to take place to get these people the help that they need. It just is. And so I promised I was going to start off with what is QAnon. I'm 20 minutes in and I haven't read this. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It's called "What is QAnon? What We Know About the Conspiracy Theory Group." Adherents of the right-wing group that believes former President Donald Trump was under assault by Satan worshipers were among the mob that stormed the Capitol. You look at the pictures and the video of the insurrection, and there were many Q emblems, Q shirts, Q signs, and popular mottos and sayings and stuff like that. If you see things that make reference to a storm, like the storm is upon us, or here comes the storm, or all of this, that is QAnon. Okay. If you see the hashtag where we go one, we go all, and it's usually WWG1WGA. It's where we go one, we go all. And it's so funny because my Twitter account, right after the election, I had nearly 8,000 followers on my page. And I would look through and many of them, the majority of them would have that hashtag in their thing. And they would always, when I was running for Congress, they were always sharing my stuff. They were like, it was nuts. Like right after I would tweet something, there'd be like 100 shares within like 2 minutes. It was crazy. And I didn't question it then. But then when I came out against the president and I came and I endorsed Biden and I did this, then I started to get all this kind of backlash from those accounts. And right after Donald Trump was suspended from Twitter or taken off of Twitter for good, my followers went from nearly 8,000 down to below 4,000. So 50% of them left. And that was because Twitter promised and did get rid of accounts that were QAnon robots, QAnon bots. And they vanished from my Twitter followers, and it was crazy. But that they definitely were not real people. They were accounts set up and used by troll farms, where bot farms, where there's 300 people sitting in a room, and they have three computer screens each, and they're using this technology to constantly use the algorithms for evil purposes, to influence and to persuade. It's a disinformation campaign. Russia's very good at it, but it's not just Russia. The Chinese are very good at it, and Americans themselves. There's been some organizations that have been caught running bot farms. One of them was Turning Point USA from right here in Arizona. They were caught doing that. So when I come back from this break, we will break it down a little bit more, and I'll promise to get into what QAnon is. Thanks for listening to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. That's me. I'm your host, Chris Taylor. We are talking about something that you hear now on a daily basis about QAnon. And the reason I'm doing it today is because there's this pushback, I guess, from a lot of people on the right that are saying, well, what do you mean I'm part of QAnon? I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of Q or QAnon. I've never even heard of it. What do you mean? And that's not, some of those things are disingenuous, like Kevin McCarthy, right? The House Minority Leader is like, oh, I don't even know how to say it. What is this QAnon? I don't know. Yeah, he knows, right? He's the leading Republican in the House of Representatives. The FBI has labeled QAnon as one of the biggest terror threats that the country faces. Okay, he knows. But there's a lot of people that don't that subscribe to some of these tentacles of QAnon, but have no idea. They're not involved in a group. They don't swear allegiance to a group. They don't, you know, they're not part of some group like the Proud Boys or anything like that. They just have been brainwashed from that echo chamber that I've talked about, and you know, they don't even realize it. And so this is an article in the Wall Street Journal by Brett Forrest. This is a conspiracy theory group known as QAnon has grown in popularity in recent months. It has spread from fringe internet message boards to mainstream platforms and has become a political issue. On January 6th, its adherents were among the most prominent members of the mob of former President Donald Trump supporters who stormed the U.S. Capitol in Washington. Here's what we know about QAnon, the conspiracy theory behind it, and how it started. QAnon is a far right-wing, loosely organized network and community of believers who embrace a range of unsubstantiated beliefs. Now, I like how he said loosely organized, because it's not like some group with a figurehead. Now, there are a small group of people that believe in some mythical figure named Q, right? But now we have kind of lumped everybody in who believe in these a wide range of unsubstantiated beliefs. These views center on the idea that a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles, mainly consisting of what they see as the elitist Democrats, politicians, journalists, and entertainment moguls, and other institutional figures, have long controlled much of the so-called deep state government, which they say sought to undermine Mr. Trump, mostly with the aid of media and entertainment outlets. What is the QAnon conspiracy theory? QAnon conspiracy theory alleges that there is a battle between good and evil in which the Republican Mr. Trump is allied with the former QAnon followers. There's a battle between good and evil in which the Republican Mr. Trump is allied with the former. Oh, okay, with the good. He's the good, and everybody else is the evil. QAnon followers are awaiting two major events, the storm and the Great Awakening. The storm is the mass arrest of people in high power positions who will face a long-awaited reckoning. These are people like Nancy Pelosi, people like Chuck Schumer, people like Hillary Clinton. You know, these are those, you know, at least Pelosi and Clinton are probably the two most hated figures. You know, they are going to be arrested. And so, you know, when you have a president that is chanting, lock her up, on live TV, telling on the debates, telling that Hillary Clinton, you're going to be in jail. And then they see these things and like, oh, this is, you know, he's the savior that's coming to, you know, do everything that this Q has prophesied about, right? So that's the storm. The Great Awakening involves a single event in which everyone will attain the epiphany that QAnon theory was accurate the whole time. This realization will allow society to enter an age of utopia. So they believe that once the storm happens, once they are validated, once their prophecies come true, then everybody will have an epiphany and believe and be converted basically to their beliefs. And who is Q? Now this is where people get lost, because it's like, well, I don't pledge allegiance to some guy named Q. What are you talking about? I'm not involved in QAnon. Followers believe that Q is a high-ranking government insider, presumably with a military or intelligence background, committed to exposing the hidden truth of what they see as an international bureaucracy scheming against Mr. Trump and his supporters. Some followers believe that Q often sends coded signals about his or her existence using the number 17, the letter Q's placement in the alphabet. Online posts surrounding QAnon conspiracy theories have often described Q as a patriot or saint? So that is, you know, the basic framework of what they believe. Now, there's different levels to this. There's different, like I said, the rabbit hole of this goes down very far, very far. And there's a lot of people that just believe certain parts of it. There's a lot of people that believe. And so when you have people that are saying the election was stolen, they believe it because they really believe that there is a vast, widespread cabal of powerful, satanic pedophiles that have dirt on everybody. Like they blackmail and they can easily steal an American election because they're so powerful. I mean, this is not hard to believe for them. This is why over 80% of the Republicans polled believe that the election was fraudulent and stolen, because they already believe, they believe wholeheartedly in the deep state. They believe wholeheartedly in the swamp. They believe wholeheartedly that Donald Trump was their guy, the savior of this whole situation. He was going to restore America to greatness. He was going to take back this country. A lot of it has to do with race. There is lots of elements of white supremacy, Christian supremacy, which is, you know, that great awakening thing. You know, there's a prophecy in the Bible that when the Savior comes, Jesus Christ, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ, and that we were right all along, right? And so this is just kind of a play on that, right? Pretty soon after the storm, where all of these people are found out, and the last piece of evidence is put into place, all of these people will be arrested, and everybody will then, all the people that made fun of them, all the people that were against them, will confess that they were right all along. And then this will usher in a utopic society of far-right conservative, conservative world, a fantasy land. It's just a complete delusion, and it's sad that it has origins in Christianity and in biblical prophecies. QAnon believers have speculated this fight will lead to a day of reckoning where prominent people such as former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton will be arrested and executed. Not just arrested, but executed. And so after, so running up into the election and afterwards, when it was then the big lie that the election was stolen and that the storm was coming, you know, just stay tuned. The last piece of the puzzle will be revealed to you. All these people that have put everything into believing this, there were people that, and I know them. I know them personally, so don't tell me that this is some made-up thing, right? They truly believed that on January 20th, when President Biden was about to take the oath of office, that the screen would go blank, the TVs would shut down, that the military would come in, that they would arrest everyone on that stage, and there would be public hangings and executions, military tribunal would be set up. And once it was safe, Donald Trump would be returned to power and the prophecies would come true. Of course, they didn't. And so this has led to many people questioning everything, which they should do. The sad thing about conspiracies is that whoever perpetrates them, whoever proliferates them, disseminates them, creates them, they always are rooted in half-truths or an element of truth. And they use that as a launching point. Because you know, just there's always things that, well, that could be true. And when you want it to be true, it becomes true to you. And you see, you're just bombarded with this. And social media, the way that their algorithms are set up, mind you, for maximizing profits to the corporations and the advertisers. That works perfect for people that want to buy products, right? In a great economy, free market. It's you know, the technology has advanced so much in this area that all I have to do is nearly just think about something that I want, and it's going to appear, right? Not quite that like that, but you know what I'm saying. And so when sinister groups are able to harness that power to use those algorithms as a way to manipulate information and to persuade and influence people, to deceive people, they're going to use it. And that's why the Russian disinformation campaign was so effective in 2016. No, Russia did not hack the voting machines. No, Russia did not make up votes. But Russian intelligence was so far advanced and so good at what they did using that technology, those algorithms that were set up to maximize profits for American corporations. They used that and really the wild, wild west days of cracking down, because Facebook had went public and they needed to maximize their positions and for their shareholders. And so they were looking the other way at all of this ad revenue coming in, all of this money that was being spent to target these people. And as a result, that enthusiasm was built around this crazy lie that Hillary Clinton was evil incarnate. I don't like Hillary Clinton. I'm not a Hillary Clinton supporter. I would never vote for her. But she's not the leader of some satanic cabal with pedophiles in a pizza joint, right? But that's what Russia was pushing. They were amplified by the algorithms. Once you get involved in this, you start going down these rabbit holes and it's pushing. It's on YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, Twitter. It pushes these things towards you because more clicks, they know that you're going to click on it. And that click, that view, is going to up their revenue. And it's going to send revenue to corporations that are advertising. The advent of the mid-roll video now in advertising on YouTube, on videos, on Facebook. You have to sometimes see a quick ad at the beginning, and then halfway through the video, whether it's a 10-minute video or a 3-minute video, there's going to be another ad that you have to watch, that you have to watch at least 10 seconds of it. There's so much money in that. There's so much money in that. And that is part of the sickness of it. So the reason that we're in this now, this whole new ecosystem of disinformation, of deception, of propaganda, it has its roots in greed, corporate greed. They want more money. They want more. They want to maximize their profits more and more and more. And so they have manipulated the way that social media works to their advantage. A lot of that is pure, right? You want to provide good livings for your employees. When the economy is good, we are all healthy. We all eat, right? We all don't go hungry. But when does it become enough? And then you always know that evil forces are going to use things like this for sinister purposes. And it's scary how great they are at it, how cunning they are at it, and how easily some of us are sucked into that vacuum and brainwashed. So I agree with the people that say this is a classic cult, but it's one that is more dangerous because the views and the beliefs have gone mainstream. And so many people believe in at least some of these conspiracies, the bigger ones, the ones that are believable. And they don't know who Q is. They've never seen that part of it. But these conspiracies are created by the group known as QAnon. So if you believe in all of this stuff, you really believe that this stuff is happening, ask yourself if you want to be a QAnon supporter, because that's what you're doing. And the biggest problem with this, or at least one of the biggest problems, is that it does such a disservice to those real organizations that fight sex trafficking and pedophilia in real life. Because all it does is delegitimize their efforts. All it does is delegitimize their ability to raise money for their cause, because now it is synonymous with this lunacy. And so more thousands of children are abducted and sold into sex trafficking rings. But people turn the other way when they hear it now, because it's like, oh, what is Tom Hanks driving the bus? You know what I mean? Like, it does such a horrible disservice to the actual organizations that are out there doing amazing work in that area. And please do not take this the wrong way. Of course there is sex trafficking. Of course there's always been human trafficking. Of course there's more pedophilia now than ever before. But it's categorically false to say that Tom Hanks and Hillary Clinton and Anderson Cooper and whoever else is pulling the strings. And Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton, while they are horrible politicians, they are not Satan incarnate. They do not have a body count on them. All of those conspiracies, and I don't even want to name them one by one because I don't want to amplify them. But it's nonsense. But, like I said, we cannot demonize these people who believe these, because they will just dig their heels in farther and farther. We have to love them. If you have a loved one, a friend, a family member who is kind of a complete break with reality, like this lady that from the clip at the very beginning, her own husband had to call 911 on her because he was done. He could not. I mean, within a year or a year and a half to 2 years, she was completely brainwashed and she had a complete psychotic break. And it all began with her dealing with trauma, unprocessed. That's why I have a soft spot, because most of these people who get wrapped into this, and like I said, they feel empowered when they get involved in this community where, you know, only them and the small group of their friends know the real truth, right? It's intoxicating. It's empowering. It's no different than me self-medicating with opioids to numb my feelings of pain and sorrow and grief from my trauma that happened in combat. And when I don't deal with that and deal with those issues, then I find ways to escape. It's the same with this. So many people that are wrapped up in this, they were suffering from clinical depression. Their world was crumbling. Their lives were falling down around them. And the pandemic just exacerbated it. We are all struggling. We all need help. We all need to address our mental health personally and collectively as a community, as a nation, as a world. We need to break that stigma. We need to allow people to feel okay to come out and say, I'm not okay. I need help. I need to talk to somebody. I need to process some things that have happened to me. And I need someone that is not going to judge me to talk to me. Somebody that has a professional mental health experiences that can lead me and guide me. And I'm not weak because of that. I'm strong because of that. What's weak is not dealing with those things and then finding these outlets. And it's a vicious cycle. I have really good friends that are stuck in this cycle right now. And they don't know why. They don't know why things are falling down around them. Because when you're involved in this cult and you're consumed by it, that's all you do all day is look at new videos and share and post and talk and attack people, and you feel attacked. It's like a sphere of just a never-ending storm of chaos just around you. And the only thing that makes you feel good and empowered is that you know the truth. The great awakening is just around the corner. That the storm is coming, and I'm on the right side of it. I understand why you feel that way, but I'm looking you in the eye right now and telling you that it's not real. It's not reality. There are some things involved in these conspiracies that have a basis in truth. Yes, there's corruption. Yes, there's political spin on every issue. No, the people in Washington don't have your best interests at heart. You're right about that. We need new people in power. We need to dismantle the system. We need to return power to the people. I'm with you. But violence is not the way to do it. And they are not satanic baby killing cannibals. They just aren't. They're traditional politicians. They're no different than ever before. They get rich on the backs of us. They're elitist. They go to Harvard and Yale and Princeton. They were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They were born on third base, and they think they hit a home run. I get it. So organize in reality. Stop fighting people and fighting against your own interests just because somebody may not have the same letter next to their name as far as their political affiliation. Stop attacking and alienating people because they don't believe everything that you believe. That's the way we change power in America. Not by engaging in conspiracies online and creating a fantasy world and putting all our hopes and dreams into one figure, one horribly flawed political figure. I don't know what the answer is as a whole, but I do know if you or your family member is suffering from this mental health crisis, and you didn't even know that it's QAnon that you're really involved in, but you believe in these conspiracies and it's hurting your relationships. It's hurting your life. It's destroying your family. Get help. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. We'll be back next episode. Please go and like and comment and leave a rating. Some real horrible idiot rated my podcast as a 1-star on Apple Podcasts. And so my rating went from 5.0 all the way down to 4.5 just because of one idiot that's probably mad because I don't share all of his political views. So go ahead and please, if you listen to this podcast regularly, go and give it a rating. Leave messages, leave comments to tell me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. Your feedback, people that do give me feedback, I greatly appreciate it. I would love to receive more. Have a great day. Have a great week. Thanks again for listening to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor.